what this whole draft turns on. Sue Gronkowski and the ramifications thereof. Was McCoy wearing Star Wars pajamas? I'm down 7 pounds and I'm on my way to Five Guys.
If your company needs to provide disaster restoration services to your clients, then you need to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Owner Josh Martin, he has 14 years experience in the insurance industry as an adjuster. Now he works on the other side, helping homeowners and businesses recover after a fire, storm damage, mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Flood, of course. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there, see what they're all about. Call Josh and set up a time for him to show you everything that they do and how they deal with customers honestly and efficiently. And they're available 24/7 to be on call for your business when you have to provide restoration services for your clients. Florida's Elite Restoration. And homeowners, of course, they're there for you 24/7 to get a free estimate assessment in your home. And they'll help you with your insurance company so you don't get ripped off. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here he is, Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, your first family of Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Ira, Sean Sullivan, the GM there, he has got special deals going this weekend. Many people heard about that on the Best in Class podcast, because Sean is also our draft guru. But at Bill Curry Ford this weekend, they are paying up to $2,500 over Blue Book. He wants to move some metal, as he says, and he's buying your vehicle. Of course, that's paying $2,500 over for trades, plus the Ira Kaufman discount, plus Sean helping you personally, whether it's body work, service, or if you just want to order a new Bronco, which you can do, and he'll give you $150 to do that with no deposit. So a lot of great things going on at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start there, and Sean will be with us in our mock draft podcast early next week. Ira, very excited about that.
Looking forward to going down to the showroom. Always a pleasure to talk football with Mr. Sullivan. Lee, I was speaking to my son. He's in Omaha, Nebraska. You know, he's got some miles on his car, and he said at the end of the summer, he's thinking about trading in his car and getting a truck. And I told him, listen, you got to come down, and I'll go with you to see Sean Sullivan. You won't get a better deal on a Ford vehicle, and that's what he wants. Plus, Lee, it gives me a chance to see him, because I don't get to see him all that often. You know, he's in his mid-30s, and you know, Lee, you're in your mid-30s. You know, you don't talk to your parents too often, so it's a double whammy. But, Sean, if you're listening to this podcast, September or October, I'm bringing my son in, and I know you'll give him a great deal. Steve, even without that special discount, you're still going to get a great deal at Bill Curry Ford.
Absolutely. We encourage everyone to stock up on Big Storm beer, Florida's very best craft beer, brewed locally. Tap rooms in Pasco County and Odessa. Follow them on Facebook, Big Storm, Odessa, Orlando at the Amway Center, Clearwater, the flagship location. They've got live music in Pasco as well as in Clearwater outside. Just fantastic. BigStormBrewery.com. And of course, the beers are in Publix. They're at the tap room. So many locations. Find out where to buy it near you at BigStormBrewery.com. Grab yourself a Bromosa. Sage, Tom Brady was talking again, and this time it was to the ESPN golf business writer. Didn't say too much, but he did say some things. I know a couple of them got under your skin a little bit, and you have said before this podcast, not that we have a production meeting, but you said, I got a couple of pot shots to throw at Tom Brady, so go for it.
Yeah, I believe I'm saying this because a month ago, you know, when Brady unretired, I was on with Chris Russo on Sirius Radio, Mad Dog, and he said he had Tom Brady fatigue, and I berated him and said, you're nuts, and people down here, there's 4 million people in Tampa Bay that think you're crazy, and Lee, I'm not sure he's crazy. I'm getting a little Brady fatigue. Enough with the drama, and Lee, I don't know if you're going to agree with me. I could care less about this golf match. Shut up about the golf match. Who cares? Got nothing to do with the Buccaneers. Man in the arena. Next week, I've got absolutely zero confidence that that's going to clear up any of the speculation. Zero confidence. The interview with the ESPN guy never even touched on it. Shame on him. I guess those were the ground rules. He's on Twitter with a hoodie. I'm over that. I don't like the feeling I'm getting about this season with Brady. I don't like it. I think he's a lame duck. Maybe things will change. Maybe he'll sign a contract extension. I wouldn't hold my breath, Lee. I think this is his last year with the Bucs. Maybe his last year in behind center. Maybe. I don't know. I got a little bit of a queasy feeling. He's going to be 45 in August. We might talk to him during mandatory minicamp. I assume he's going to show up in June. I'm not sure he's going to answer our questions and try to clear the air about the speculation that's still going on. And who knows if we'll ever get to the bottom of it. Hey, he's got to answer some questions. He's got to answer some damn questions. I'm not interested in this golf match.
I live in 2022. It's no longer 1965 where you get the grill guys, you get the corner them in the locker room and grill them, and you don't let them loose until they give you what that you want. We live in different times, different ages. Brady doesn't have to answer a damn thing. He hasn't committed any crimes. I'm not sticking up for him. I'm not saying I don't want to hear it, but I'm also a realist. He's going to give us what he wants to give us and nothing more. So it's like, what are you going to do? Waterboard the guy? No, it's not going to happen. Move on. As far as you're getting Brady fatigue, you might want to hire some muscle next time you go to Big Storm Brewing, Ira, because you're going to get backhanded by a Bucks fan. They can't get enough of Brady, nor should they. We will never live to see a better Bucks quarterback. We won't. So why should a Bucks fan not want more Brady? Whether it's him on Twitter, him golfing, him doing whatever the hell he wants. Bucks fans can't get enough of it because they know it's limited. You only have so much time at the buffet. Why not shovel everything in your gullet as much as you can until you puke? Like you, Ivor, I raised my hand. I don't give, in the immortal words of Steve Dumick, great big dog, I don't give a spit about his golf tournament, nor do I give a spit about freaking golf. I can't stand golf. I hate it. It's an arrogant sport. It's an obnoxious sport. Get it off my TV. And I say this all the time, Ira. If anybody ever catches me watching golf, it means one of two things. It means I'm a freaking vegetable and don't know any better, or I'm an invalid and I can't work a remote.
Steve, let me take a step further. This will raise your hackles, Isbits, if you have any hackles.
Ooh.
I don't believe the reported rift between Arians and Brady. I'm throwing cold water on that one. But I do believe the Brady to Miami speculation has some teeth to it. I do. And by that, I mean there was mutual interest. Certainly Stephen Ross was interested in Brady. He was interested in him before he came to the Bucks.
Sure.
So he was going to be interested in it. Now, this time, you'd have to trade for him. But, Steve, I'll take it a step further. I think there was interest in Brady jumping ship on the Buccaneers. And that bothers me. That bothers me because, to me, it is an indication, a suggestion, that Tom Brady's not all in on the Buccaneers. How do you like that, Isbits? He's not all in on this organization. He could have played out his contract. Then he could deal with the Dolphins. He's not on the contract. But no, he was trying to do it for this season. And I don't like it. I think it might be a problem.
Well, the overthinking of everything is so much fun. I agree with Lee. Just, hey, this is fun and this is a special time and Brady's not going to be here forever. And the thought of having Brady for 3 years is, it's a miracle, absolute football miracle in Tampa. But Ira, I just think it's too simplistic for the way people to try to put it all in a box. Okay, so let's say Tom Brady's agent hears from Stephen Ross, who says, hey, I'm interested in getting Brady into an ownership share here. And, I told Tom years ago that I'd love to have him with me forever down the road. What is he thinking? Let me know. And the talks begin. I don't know if I buy that. Oh, a press conference was planned after the Super Bowl and all this stuff. And what do you say to this, Ira? If Tom Brady said to the Glazers, hypothetically, because everything here is hypothetical. If Tom Brady said to the Glazers, hey, Stephen Ross is offering me 5% of the team and this and that, and I'm thinking of retiring, but, you know, I wouldn't mind playing another year here if you guys were interested in doing something long-term with me with ownership. And they said, no, thanks, Tom. You know, we're going to pass this team on to our family forever and ever. And, you know, we're not giving up 5% of the team. You know, we love you. We'll do whatever we can for you. And that's it. I mean, what would you say to Brady then?
Steve, I'm not saying this thing would have happened because the Bucks still controlled Brady's rights and the Saints controlled Sean Payton. So I'm not saying this thing would have happened. It's certainly not going to be as simplistic as some of these people are making it out to be. But, Steve, I believe Brady wanted to leave the Buccaneers. He wanted to leave the Buccaneers a couple of months ago. He was ready to move on to another organization. And I'm not sure it was just in the capacity of being a part owner. And I don't know. To me, that indicates a little bit less, you know, obligation to the Buccaneers, a little bit less all in to the Buccaneers. And I think this organization has been very good to Brady. They've given him a tremendous amount of clout. Yes, the Kemper. I love that word, clout.
I love it, too.
And he couldn't ask for more.
All right, Ira. Ira, I'll play along, but do you hope, what about Ryan? I'll throw Ryan Jensen and Carlton Davis at you. They were ready to leave this organization, too. They were ready to go out the door until, things change. Now we want to stay. So do you feel the same way about them?
Well, those guys wanted to get paid, and I don't think it was necessarily a financial thing for Brady in terms of salary to play quarterback. And we don't know that Jensen wanted to come back with Blaine Gabbert. Well, we don't know that.
Ira, I'm glad you mentioned getting paid, because what's an NFL franchise worth these days? $4 billion? You know, Sage was very good at math back in the day. What's 1% of $4 billion, Ira?
He could have told Stephen Ross to wait a year. I'm going to stick with the Bucks, and I'm going to lead them to a championship, and my contract will be up, and you'll wait for me, and then I'll be part owner of your Miami Dolphins. And I don't think that's what happened.
I get the bad taste in your mouth, Ira, that he was looking to say goodbye to the Bucks when this is a good team and a good situation, and you don't like that. And I get it. I get it, Ira.
Now I know why I never heard of that ESPN reporter. You said he was a golf business writer. No wonder I never heard of him before.
Lee, those must have been the ground rules that were laid out before the interview. Oh, you know that. You know.
Yeah, I'm confident of that.
Well, wait, let me say this. Let me say this, Ira. I don't know if that's so accurate. Now, this interview was not on video, to the best of my knowledge. Did you guys see a video of it?
I haven't yet to see a video
yet. Yeah, I don't think there's a video. So I don't know if that was ground rules, Ira. If he asked him up front and Brady said, I'm just going to tell you no comment. You know, then why do you even have to lay it out there? So it doesn't mean it was ground rules. He may have just asked him and Brady didn't give an answer.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't, because, you know, the guy tipped off his editors. Hey, I got Tom Brady. And for ESPN not to say, we got to know about the Arians relationship, this, that, and the other. It's difficult for me to believe that there was not ground rules. If that was the case, that there were no ground rules, then this guy is one of the worst journalist I've ever seen.
But why do we assume why are we assuming that the questions weren't asked?
Well, then why don't you include it in the interview? Include it.
Because
if the questions were asked, you said no comment, why would you not include that in your story? Otherwise, you look like a buffoon. Everybody does. Everybody. Not just the reporter, the network, everybody.
Well done, DeCapper.
Yeah, but ESPN chooses to look like buffoons all the time, so that's why I don't.
Well, that's true, but they don't look like absolute nothing on the imbeciles. I mean, that's like,
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
Well, okay, point taken. But here's the question I got for Ira. If what you're saying, Ira, Brady was actually in some sort of talks about going to Miami, even preliminary as they may be, doesn't that actually speak to Brady's quote-unquote relationship with Arians? If they were tight bros, why would he be looking to get out of Dodge?
Well, I think the attraction was the part ownership, Lee. I think that was the attraction. Okay. Not throwing the ball to Waddle instead of Mike Evans. And of course, they didn't have Tyreek Hill at that time, Lee. They didn't even have him. So, on the field, Miami's weapons could not match the Bucs. They don't have a running back as good as Fournette. Their whole line not as good as the Bucs. So I think the attraction was that part ownership. The next phase, Brady's career, and I don't blame him for that, Lee, but I just think you put it off for a year. Stephen Ross will wait. If he wants you that bad, he'll wait. And he was ready to bail on the Bucs, and I'm a little troubled. Now, I will ask you two guys this question, knowing what the answer is already. Lee, you know me. I'm going to be in the front of that line during mandatory minicamp. They got to bring Brady out for 8 minutes. They got to. And I'll ask, and some other people will ask, and Lee, will he address these questions?
No.
I'm going to say he will, but it won't be head on.
I don't think that's fair to Bruce Arians. I just don't.
Well, I've written it already, Ira. He could have just like, you know, how many hours did it take Brady to make sure the world knew that he got Tristan Wirfs' phone number? 3 hours, if that? Brady has had ample time to go on social media and shoot down these rumors. Instead, he's chosen to let Bruce Arians twist in the wind. He could have addressed these rumors months ago, literally months ago. He's chosen not to. In the big picture, he doesn't even need to be asked about it. He's already answered it by his silence.
Okay.
Silence invites speculation.
Sage, what do you make of Jeff Darlington, a noted Brady insider, as well as Rob Ninkovich, teammate, a guy who's often on ESPN saying he hangs out at Gronk's house recently, currently, that they're buddies, close buddies. Both were on TV the other day with very somber tones, saying that they believe this is Brady's last season. Ninkovich was going on explaining that Brady doesn't want the farewell tour. He doesn't want every game to be like, oh, this is his last home game. This is his last ever trip to Cincinnati and all these other things. And Darlington, of course, was saying that he believes flat out, I would say, that this is his final season. So do you think those are plants? You think that's just a plant? Or do you think that they believe that through any sort of real sources? And my question to you is, ultimately, is the final straw here, what we've talked about before, is Brady signing a contract extension for 2023? Is that the only real true indicator? And if he doesn't sign a contract extension for 2023, then you know what he's going to get, Ira? He's guaranteed the farewell tour. All the stuff he allegedly doesn't want, that's what he's going to get. And if he signed an extension with the Bucs, then no one would talk about that, and then he could always retire.
Lee, if I'm a betting man, I'm going with Jeff Darlington on this one, Lee. I believe he's right. I think this will be Brady's last year as a player. I do. And Lee, there's a lot of variables here. Like, for instance, Lee, suppose the Dolphins go 12-5 and Tua has a good season. He's throwing the ball to a couple of top receivers. Miami's got a decent team, Lee. If that happens, there's no room at the end for Brady to play for the Dolphins. I'm sorry. I'm sticking with Tua at that point, and I think the Dolphins would too. And that doesn't mean he can't be part owner. But this thing about part owner player, I'm not even sure the league would allow that. And it's not clear to me that that's allowable under league circumstances. That have to be worked out. Lee, what I'm saying is, I think this is the swan song for Brady. It's the end of an incomparable career. Hopefully he goes out with a Super Bowl. I think this is it, Lee. Didn't he say he wanted to play till he's 45? Right, yeah. 45 August. I don't think that's changed. His wife's still putting pressure on him. The Miami house. I think this is it for Brady. Will it be a farewell tour? No. Because I don't think he's going to make any announcement during the season that's definitive. Lee, he's going to leave it up in the air. But I think this was Brady's last year.
As far as the Miami house, I know I'm going to walk out on a limb when I say this, so I got to apologize to people. This might sound crazy. I think Brady can afford a condo in Tampa. Just a hunch. Miami house, that doesn't mean anything to me as far as that's going to keep him out of Tampa Bay. The Tua situation reminds me of exactly what Jameis went through in Arians' first year. It's like Jameis, this is a do-or-die year for Tua.
Right.
New coach, they got weapons around him, it's do-or-die, prove it or shut up, or prove it or goodbye, more accurately. And that's what I think is going on in Miami. I'm not convinced if the Glazers come out and offer Brady Aaron Rodgers' contract, $150 million, 3 years, if Brady has a good year, does he turn that down?
I think he's all about that part ownership thing, Lee. I think he's thinking about life after football. It's coming up fast, and I don't think the Glazers are willing to go there.
Your next project, Ira, should be calling Brian McCarthy, the flack for the NFL, and ask him, is it kosher under NFL bylaws for a player to own a piece of a team?
I've already asked an NFL executive.
I know that. You told me.
And he wasn't sure. His best guess is that it would be disallowed. That's his guess.
That's why I'm asking you to go through channels with the NFL and ask their spokesperson if it's kosher for a player, or no, a part owner to play.
Sure. It's complicated because even if it's disallowed, all they have to do is vote to change the rule. So, I mean,
as we speak, what are the laws?
I just wanted to say it is Tua's third year. This is his third year coming up, but he's played well. So it'll be interesting, Ira, what he does with all these weapons. I know there are people who believe, oh, he can't throw deep. Tyreek Hill's not going to catch any passes. I mean, it's just silly. You know, it's just silly.
But don't tell that to Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, I mean, it's goofy. I don't know what to say about that. Doesn't mean he's a great deep ball thrower, but it sounds like Lombardi hasn't been watching a lot of Dolphins games.
Steve, we're a week before the draft, and we haven't talked about the draft, Mr. Risbitz.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we've talked plenty about the draft, and people can go back and listen to other podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts. And, of course, we got plenty more draft talk coming up in this episode as well as the next one. And, of course, Sunday we'll be recording our huge annual mock draft episode, which is a lot of fun. Should be a lot of firepower and screaming going on there, I have a feeling, with Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. Ira, I wanted to bring this up to you about the draft. I spent time listening and recording Gerald McCoy. He was hired as a SiriusXM NFL radio draft analyst for defensive tackles. And he was fantastic in the role. Fantastic. And McCoy believes the best defensive tackle in the draft is Devontae Wyatt. Now, a lot of people, most people have him as the number two guy. But Devontae Wyatt out of Georgia, McCoy believes, not based on the stats, just based on the film and him watching him, studying him at the Senior Bowl and other things, that this guy is just a living, breathing pass rusher. McCoy was going into, from his stance to his, the way he approached the drills and the Senior Bowl to game tape, that the guy is just wired for pass rushing. And McCoy said he was incredibly impressed and just believed that this guy is a can't miss as a pass rusher. He went on to say that the way the game has evolved, that he could go to Walmart, this was his quote, and find a guy who could plug the run and stop the run. But that this guy is special. He thinks he's a perfect three technique, which is what Ndamukong Suh plays in the Buccaneers defense when he's on the field. And I'm summarizing here, but that really got me thinking, because I know that you said, you know, it means a lot to you what a top player in a position thinks, because we talked about Richard Sherman's pick in the draft at cornerback, the guy he thought was the steal. And of course, McCoy puts this guy ahead of Jordan Davis, his Georgia teammate, who most people have as a top 20 pick, whereas Wyatt could be there for the Bucs.
To me, the first thing that comes to mind is, was McCoy wearing Star Wars pajamas when he broke down the draft? That's number one.
I always thought he was a Batman kind of guy.
Well, could be Batman, could be Han Solo. Steve, if the guy's sitting there at 21 or 22 and the Bucs want to give up a fourth-round pick, I don't mind it. But if the Bucs are trying to move up to 12 and it costs them a second rounder, I don't know that I'm going to go there. In the words of Lee DeKemper, the immortal words of Lee, rookie defensive linemen don't usually make an immediate impact. Do not. And this guy's not Aaron Donald. But, you know, let's calm down. And Lee says it's all about 2022, which is, you know, hard to argue against. So it depends what the cost would be to sit there in 27, and if he's there, you take him. I got no problem with it. In terms of moving up and using capital, to me, it depends on what kind of capital you're going to use. I'm not sure he's going to make an immediate impact. Lee, let me say one more thing. I would find it hard to believe, and Lee, you know what Jason Light is like in terms of gathering intel from 31 other teams. He's good at it. He is good at it. I think he's one of the better executives in the league. at trying to analyze which way other teams are going, are likely to go. I think he's been proven adept at that. And Lee, along those lines and gathering intel, I would be surprised by next Thursday if Jason Light isn't 95% certain, one way or the other, about Gronkowski and Sue. I would be surprised if he's not, especially Gronkowski.
That's fair.
That's the way I feel. He was asked whether their status would have an impact on the way the draft goes. He wouldn't go there. I'll go there. Of course it does, Lee. They don't have much at tight end beyond Gronkowski. They don't. And they don't have much proven commodity besides Vita Vea at interior defensive lineman if Sue's not going to be around. So, Steve, to answer your question, I think it all hinges on the Ndamukong Suh. If he's not going to sign with the Bucs, and I think Light's going to know going into the draft, you know, Sue likes to show up in May. All right, show up in May. Who cares? But I think he's going to have an idea whether they're going to sign Sue or not. And that's what this whole draft turns on. Sue, Gronkowski, and the ramifications thereof.
If Light doesn't believe Sue's returning, then I understand why everybody wants a defensive tackle. I get. Otherwise, I don't get it. If you think Sue's coming back, then I don't understand the need to draft a tackle. You know, I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't. It's not like the defense was horrible with Golson, with Sue, with Zia, and with Nachos. It wasn't. If they draft a defensive tackle at 27, then I think Sue's days are done. I really do.
Ira, I'm glad Lee brought up Nacho, because Nacho represents a philosophical argument for me that it came to me in the shower the other night, and I'm like, you know what? I think I can corner the sage on this and pin him like a caged animal. So this is what I do at night, Ira. Here's the thing. You've pounded your chest over and over again that Aaron Stinney can fill in and start. You know, the Bucs have confidence in him, and he can take over for Marpet. This guy played a few games in the playoffs. Last year he made one start, for the record, got hurt early in the game, and missed a month. So you're confident in Stinney because of that, because he showed it in the playoffs. Well,
I think it'll be adequate.
Okay, I got that. He can fill the role. So that flips me to Nacho, who this guy started 11 games in the Super Bowl season for Vita Vea for the number one ranked run defense, and the pass rush in 2020 was phenomenal, and no one's saying that he's as good as Vea, just like no one's saying that Aaron Stinney's as good as Ali Marpet. But Nacho has more of a track record on that defensive line than Aaron Stinney. They're the exact same age. Nacho's actually hasn't missed a game in 3 years. He's proven his durability. Stinney has not. But everybody says, hey, Stinney's in there, no problem. He'll be good for 20 games through the playoffs, good to go. This is why I'm much more focused on the offensive line. I think if you're going to argue that Stinney's ready to take over and be adequate, then so is Nacho to just fill in at defensive tackle.
Interesting point about Nacho. Let's remember that in 2020, in terms of the pass rush at least, Devin White was a big factor, and so was JPP. Last year,
he was healthy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So Nacho starting 11 games, he was surrounded, and of course he had, Shaq Barrett healthy off the left side, and Will Golston had a very good 2020 season in terms of the pass rush and pressures. So I'm not saying Nacho can't get the job done, but he was surrounded by a lot of talent in terms of that pass rush. Now I don't know how Devin White's going to be used this fall. I say you got to turn the guy loose. I think he's much more effective when he's not thinking that much. JPP's not going to be there. Lee Golston, I don't think is going to match his 2020 production. So I'm not saying Nacho can't get the job done, but I'd feel more comfortable if he was a spot player playing 50% of the snaps rather than 75.
Well, yeah. I mean, they didn't hire or sign Nacho to be a starter. That's why Villa's there. That's why Sue was there. That's why Golston was there. So that wasn't an optimum plan, is to have Nacho start however many games he did in place of Villa. But he did all right when he filled in. To reinforce what Steve's saying about Stinney, on face value, he filled in fantastically during the playoff run, during the Super Bowl run. He didn't even notice that Alex Kappa wasn't in there. What we don't know is what the Bucks know. It's the like Kyle Trask. You know, why is Kyle Trask, why was he never active? Well, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of fans think that media gets to watch every practice. We don't. The only thing they show us during the season is guys warming up for 20 to 30 minutes. That doesn't tell us anything. And that's why I never go down there during the season. It's a waste of time for me, unless I have a very specific question for a coach. So why was Stinney signed to a bottom-of-the-barrel one-year contract? If they had confidence in him, I would guess they would have signed him to a multi-year contract. So to me, that tells me the Bucks, the people that see Stinney practice every day, and we don't, they have questions about him.
That's why I use the word adequate. I'm not looking for Stinney to make the all-pro team. They got the best right tackle in football. They got a very good right guard in Jack Mason, who I believe will prove to be an upgrade on Kappa, who was decent. Jensen's back. He's one of the better centers in the league. Donovan Smith, say what you want. Bad Rams game, yeah. He's a good player. You can't have all pros across the board. I think Stinney will be adequate. And if he's not, you pick up a veteran to compete against him. And you'll know by the end of training camp what you have. He's going to take first-team reps. I'm not overly concerned about the left guard position. It's not like I think the guy's going to be totally exposed and be a bum.
I hear you, Ira. Look, there's no reason to think that he's going to be totally exposed. It's also unknown whether he can play a full season. And he's never played left guard, to the best of my knowledge, other than a quarter of a game in Indianapolis when he got hurt. It goes back to why I would take the first round guard if it's available, because you don't mess with what's in front of Tom Brady. End of story. You know, we want to stockpile as much talent there as possible because that's the season rides on it. So I don't go beyond that, Ira. It's just my philosophy at this point. And I did more research, Ira, because I was getting mad at you when I was having dinner the other night. And I was looking it up, and imagine if this happened in Tampa. Imagine. In 2014, Bill Belichick goes out and he drafts a center in the fourth round, Brian Stork, and he starts him, and they go all the way and win the sixth Super Bowl. They win a Super Bowl ring for Tom Brady. 2014. Imagine if the Bucs went out now and drafted a fourth round center and said he's going the distance with Brady. People would be in an absolute uproar. 2015, the following year, Belichick goes out. He drafts Shaq Mason and a guy named Trey Jackson in the middle rounds, fourth and fifth round. They jump into the starting lineup. No problem with the Patriots. And then in 2016, he does it again. He drafts Joe Thuney, sticks him in at left guard, the position we're talking about, in the third round. And Thuney is a superstar and goes on to play for your beloved Chiefs last year because Belichick wouldn't pay him. And now he's making like $14 million a year. So I don't know. I'm just not scared of sticking the rookie in there and challenging Stinney and blowing him out because you need talent in there.
Well, you know what that's called, Lee? That's called draft and develop. And the Bucs are now good at it. They used to be terrible at it. Now they're good at it. I like the offensive line coaches, Lee. I trust them. And, Lee, I'll give you a name in terms of Stinney and competition. Shouldn't Robert Hainsey theoretically, Lee, be in the mix?
As far as competition for that starting job?
I thought the guy could play everywhere, Lee. That's why they drafted him. So
in the mix, that phrase, I'm unclear about that. Do you mean should he be in competition for the open spot at left guard?
What I'm saying is Stinney, it's Stinney's job to lose, but shouldn't Hainsey be in the mix? I think there should be competition to start at left guard. We're not talking about Ali Marpet.
I absolutely agree with that. That should be an open competition.
So we're in agreement. What say you, Mr. Isbitz?
Well, what I say, Ira, first is to get to Bill Curry Ford. If you have any service issues, body work that you've been putting off, BillCurryFord.com is where to go. And when you're finished, you can come on home and enjoy a Big Storm beer, which you should be stocking up on for the NFL draft. Big Storm beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And after all that sage, of course, something's got to go wrong. And if that happens in your home, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, whether it's a flood, fire. A fire starts because you throw your remote control at the TV when the Bucks draft a kicker. Florida's Elite Restoration is great for all disasters in your home. That's your first phone call before you call your insurance company. Well, look, it's Aaron Stinney. You have to have a competition there. I don't see how they can hand him a job.
Think a little bit outside your shower. I know you like to do it in your shower, but
look, Hainsey should be able to compete there. Yeah, of course. Also, look, when Stinney went down against the Colts, they put in Nick Leverett. That was the third string left guard, and he played pretty well. If he doesn't play well, they lose that game in Indianapolis. Yes. So he's another guy who should at least be competing because there really are unknowns. Brady obviously is going to have a say, I think, in who he trusts out there. But I'm still all in favor of drafting a guard. You can't go wrong if you draft good offensive linemen, especially if you want to keep your quarterback who is old, and if you want to recruit a potential free agent quarterback next year. It's just more valuable than a defensive tackle in that when it comes to the quarterback, which is the most important position we got.
I don't disagree, Steve. Protecting the quarterback is priority two after getting a quarterback. No question about it.
Ira Lee, Jason Light, of course, just like every other position, he did not rule out drafting a running back. But do you think that's reality? Do you think, Ira, that they're going to do anything related to running back on the first 2 days of the draft? Keyshawn Vaughn is still Light's guy. And Leonard Fournette is here as a highly paid three-down back, a horse they're going to ride as much as they possibly can. Giovanni Bernard is back because they trust him, because that's a Brady endorsement, I believe. You know, I like throwing to this guy on third down. And Vaughn showed that he can play. I mean, he showed that he can play. He's not a three-down guy, but he showed that he can run the ball. So are they going to blow a top draft pick, first, second, or third round, do you think, to get into that mix to compete with those guys?
Well, I think, Lee, I think they're going to, you know, obviously need more running backs on the roster heading into training camp, no question about it. I agree with Steve. They are going to run Fournette until he drops, and it's not like Fournette's 33, and he seems to be getting better every year that he's in a Buck uniform. The guy has developed into a top 10 back, if not higher. I don't have any questions about Leonard Fournette at this point. Arians was the big booster of Vaughn, but like Steve says, you know, Light's not about to give up on Keyshawn Vaughn, nor should he. Bernard's a third down back, but Fournette can handle that role too. Yeah, they're going to add a couple of backs, but I would not waste a premium top three round pick on a running back. Lee, I don't see it.
Wouldn't surprise me for a couple of reasons. One, Rojo had 100 touches last year.
So you give it to Vaughn.
In theory, yeah, but once again, as we spoke about with Stinney, what do the Bucks see behind the scenes that no one else sees? I don't know that. Number two, the Bucks allegedly, reportedly, have worked out this Isaiah Spiller. As I always say, follow the money. Bucks aren't flying coaches to Texas unless they're really interested in a guy. They're not spending extra money to work out a guy if they're not actually interested in him. They're not going to waste the money. They're not going to waste the time. Now, smokescreen or not, they brought this Alabama running back in. So it certainly smells like they're looking to add to the running back stable. This Spiller guy is projected to be a second-round pick. So, no, it wouldn't shock me.
I hate to open an old wound here, Isbitz, but if they draft a running back in the top three rounds, Steve, can the guy handle the punt and kickoff returns too? Because they damn sure need an upgrade there.
Look, they're not good at finding those guys. Jason Light, he's whiffed so many times on getting a returner. He's just not good at it. And not every general manager is good at everything he does. And Light, just between not caring that much about it under Dirk Cutter, and then they tried to do better and they just haven't figured it out. I don't know what they're going to do there, Ira. Maybe Scotty Miller can devote his time to that and turn into a returner, you know, a faster version of Adam Humphries. Maybe he can pull that off.
Ira, I got a question for you. Speaking of returning, Bruce Arians was clearly Jalen Darden's biggest cheerleader. Well, Arians is no longer the head coach. Yeah, he allegedly is in the front office now, and allegedly he's studying draft picks, potential draft picks. Was he doing this while he's on his West Coast golf tour? I mean, come on. So you got a new sheriff in town, Todd Bowles. Yes. Bowles is dedicated to Jalen Darden as Arians.
Lee, speaking of Jalen Darden, and I say this without hesitation. Steve, if Jalen Darden doesn't make the Bucks coming out of training camp, who cares? Who cares?
Thank you.
That's no knock on Jason Light, Steve. Zero. A late draft pick who gets put the next year, who cares? Happens 300 times in the National Football League. Nobody should be attached to Jalen Darden at this point, Steve. Maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't. But if he doesn't, Steve, no big deal.
Absolutely. A quick note on special teams. When Bowles was in New York, the special teams were bad. But after a few years, he climbed to number one on Rick Goslin's ratings, well-accepted ratings for NFL special teams. And much of the credit was given to a guy named Brant Boyer, who is still the Jets special teams coach. I believe he has like the biggest contract in the league for special teams coaches, a real guru. So it brings me some comfort to feel that, hey, Todd Bowles knows what this looks like and how much better it can be because he actually presided over an elite special teams unit. So hopefully that sparks something, Ira. I wanted to bring this up, Ira, because this is too funny, and I almost couldn't believe it. I was glad I actually was recording the whole thing. So I jumped on the conference call, the national conference call the other day with Mark Dominic.
That's just so funny. Of all the times Steve could jump on a national conference call, he picks Mark Dominic. And I'm not slamming Mark Dominic. I like Mark, but I just find it funny that of all the times, all the opportunities Steve had to jump on a national conference call, it's Mark Dominic.
Well, I knew what would happen, Ira, because Dominic slowly over the years has been revealing gems of Bucks history through his, when he's co-hosts on Sirius. And I figured, oh gosh, if they're gonna put him in a corner to talk about the draft for 2 hours, something's gonna spill out, some sort of analogy, or I remember when this and that kind of thing. So there were actually some questions directed to him, like Mark, when you were general manager, that sort of thing. So Dominic took 2 hours of questions from writers all over the country, and one of the things he revealed, Ira, was that in the 2011 draft, he was hoping that he would get the phone call to trade down because he really thought he could do better trading down. He thought he was going to get the phone call, and it was a situation where he's sitting there draft night and the phone didn't ring when they had, I think, the number 20 overall pick after the 2010 season. So Dominic's like, uh-oh, okay, the phone's not ringing, damn it. And he admitted that he was, quote, really struggling to choose between Adrian Claiborne and Cam Jordan. And that was his decision on that night. And he traded out. Or excuse me, he picked Adrian Claiborne instead of Cam Jordan, and the rest is history. We know what happened to both of their careers. The other fun one, Ira, was Dominic admitting that the only reason he didn't draft Rob Gronkowski was because he trusted the medical assessments at the combine. And he talked about how, it's important to trust your own team doctors, and there was some controversy, and I didn't like the medical on Gronk's back, so he didn't do that. And the last gem was Bill Polian called him up in 2011 and said, hey, I'll give you my, I want your fifth round pick. I'll give you my fourth rounder in 2012. And Dominic said, no, that's not enough value. Meanwhile, Peyton Manning proceeded to never play for the Colts again, and they ended up with the top pick in the draft the following year. And Dominic passed on the top pick in the fourth round, which was quite good value for a late fifth round pick. And there were many, many great players who were still on the board there. And, conceivably the Bucks could have drafted Kirk Cousins and others. I don't have the list of names in front of me, but Dominic was sharing some gems there, Ira.
Isbeth, you just spent the last 2 minutes telling our audience why Mark Dominic is an ex-general manager. That's what you did.
To be fair, he didn't have a crystal ball that Peyton Manning was going to get hurt. I mean, come on.
I agree with that, Lee. I agree with that. Lee, the first thing that struck me from Steve's diatribe was Mark Dominic froze because they were still stuck with the 20th pick in the 2011 draft and didn't know which way to go. I mean, Lee, you got plan A, you got plan B, you got plan C. Dominic had plan A. I mean, Lee, you can't assume your phone is going to ring to your satisfaction. You got to know going into that draft day who you're taking at 20 if you're on board at 20. And it made it sound like it's like a last-minute decision between Claiborne, you know, and Jordan. And by the way, Claiborne, who had an okay career, and Jordan, who was an elite defensive end, that's strike three on that's strike one on Dominic right there.
Claiborne was never the same after he blew out his knee.
He was never going to be Cam Jordan. Never.
Well, I mean, never. I don't remember people saying Cam Jordan was going to be a Hall of Famer when he was drafted either.
I'm just saying he had to pick between two guys, and he struck out.
What this says to me, more than anything, you know, Dominic said he was torn. Did he not trust his draft board?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, the way you said it, it's almost like he was caught short when the phone didn't ring. I mean, that can't happen, Steve.
Oh, I know.
That's, to me, that tells me, and I think White referenced this recently as well, Dominic didn't trust his draft board. Well, why didn't you trust your draft board? And I think, didn't Light recently speak to, in the past, he didn't trust his staff, now he does?
Yes, and Steve, you can't argue with the 2011 Bucks draft board being totally towards Raheem Morris. Morris didn't have that kind of clout. It was Dominic's show.
I wish he would reveal more things, but, you know, remember, Dominic came from the Bruce Allen tree, and Bruce Allen despises the Fourth Estate. So even though Dominic is very smooth on radio and very smooth on TV, and if he wanted to, I still think he could be a news anchor. That's how good he is. He's not one to, you know, open the doors fully because he's a Bruce Allen guy. What I thought was really cool was, I don't know if you read this, Ira, a couple weeks ago when he was on SiriusXM NFL Radio, he admitted that when he brought Honey Badger in for to pick his brain, he had Honey Badger off his board because of all the drug stuff. And Dominic was hardly alone. There were a lot of teams that had Honey Badger off his draft board or their draft board. Well, he brings in Honey Badger to pull Al Davis to pick his brain, knowing that he's not going to play or not going to draft the guy. And Matthew blew Dominic away in the interview, and he changed his mind, and he said to himself, I'm drafting this guy. And he brings in his personnel player director, and he brings in Schiano, though he didn't mention Schiano by name. He said, I bring in the head coach, and they talked him out of it.
We don't need to delve into Mark Dominic's 5 years.
No. Well, it's just interesting history there, Ira. You know, the Cam Jordan thing at the time, as I went back to look at it, because I had remembered, just he was one of the few guys I remembered being sort of a freak of nature in the draft. He was a freakish defensive end, and Tristan Wirfs has talked about this, why he's so hard to block for him, why it's sort of his kryptonite. Because Cam Jordan, even at the combine, was 6'4", 290 pounds, running a 4.7 and change 40. He was a freak of nature, and he still is. He's like a, you know, as Wirfs has said, you know, you don't usually get a guy off the edge at 295 coming at you. So, crazy times.
You know, what we need to say, Lee, and I know you'll be in agreement here, Jason Light has done a nice job the last 3 or 4 years. He's done a much better job.
Well, here's one, Ira. I love this. I absolutely love this. I don't know if you noticed it or not. And I can't even begin to pronounce the guy's name, so I'm not even going to try. But he writes for The Athletic. And he had his 10 commandments of drafting. And number 4 was, I played with it a little bit. This isn't exactly what he wrote, but it's the same thing. Know thy coaches. Be very careful drafting a player that needs development if his position coach can't develop guys.
I think that really hurt the Bucks with Dirk Cutter's staff. I think it really did.
And lousy Lovie Smith. Look at all those clowns he had as assistants. Not Leslie Frazier. Leslie Frazier was a good coach and is a good coach. But look at all the clowns that Lovie Smith had. So basically anybody he drafted at so many positions when Lovie Smith was the coach, those guys were doomed.
You know, Light was very evasive, and I don't blame him, on Tuesday in front of the media. But Lee, one point he made, and I believe he made it several times, Steve, and I don't think Lee agrees with this, is when you put too high a value on positional need or perceived need, that's when you run into a lot of trouble and you make mistakes. He said
I totally agree with that.
I thought you said last week that's overrated when you stick to your best athlete available, best player available. You don't like that, though, Lee.
Well, there's two different things. On your draft board, if you don't have, let's say, wide receiver. I'm going to throw out wide receiver, just hypothetical. Right now, you're going to need a receiver. If you're going to be banking on Rashard Perryman and the immortal Cyril Grayson, if that's who you're banking on, you need a receiver. If on your draft board you don't have any receivers rated to be first-round draft picks, but you draft a receiver because you need a guy, well, yeah, then you're reaching, and then you make a mistake. So I absolutely agree with what Jason Light said. I absolutely agree with that. But if you've got a cornerback and a receiver, would you come around picking number 24, and they're both even? You better pick that need. And right now, that needs receiver.
Sage,
this is very interesting, Steve. This Booger McFarland thing, I haven't heard anybody else say it.
Now, of course, you and Lee are referring to the report that Booger McFarland gave on radio that Chris Godwin may not be back until December.
Surely the Bucs want to know what's going on with Godwin, a projected recuperation time, Steve. And you know what? I can't really argue with the Kemper on there. If it's Thanksgiving, which that's a lot later than I'm anticipating. I was thinking week 5, Steve.
Yeah.
And I can get by with Rashard Perryman, Steve, as my third receiver, because I think Gage is good. I think he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a decent number 2, and an even better number 3, if Godwin's available. But, Steve, if it's true that Godwin's not going to be available till late November, I think that changes things.
Absolutely agree with you. You can get by 3, 4, 5 games with Perryman and Grayson. I get that. But if we're talking until, Berger's direct quote was after Thanksgiving. Whoa.
A couple of things to chew on here, Sage. First, I think this goes back to what you said about Rob Gronkowski, an important decision before the draft. To me, losing Gronk is a key decision on drafting a receiver because, Gronk put up the numbers, as did Godwin, but they both put up a lot of numbers. So you got to replace that production somewhere. Second of all, Booger said December for return. When I wrote the story, I wrote after Thanksgiving, which is December, but that's what he actually said was December. Now my feeling was since Booger didn't cite anybody, didn't say he's heard, didn't say somebody told him this, he just put it out there. My guess is he was just talking out his ass. So, and it's also one part hope that he's talking out his ass, but we'll see. The draft will certainly answer that question. If the Bucs go ahead and draft a receiver, number 1 or number 2, then that's going to probably answer that question on where Chris Godwin is. Then there's the question of if he wasn't coming back till December, that means something was a little bit off with his situation, and maybe they shouldn't have signed him to $20 million a year. But who knows what's happened in the last few weeks? We just don't know. It is a little scary to think about, Sage. As a final thing, Sage, final question for you, which I think is a little bit important. But let me remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping immediately. You can read all about their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles there. You can order, customize a vehicle, no deposit at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is also an email away right there at BillCurryFord.com. Make the smart first decision. Get to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. And Big Storm Beer, do not forget Big Storm Beer. Drink it this weekend. Try it this weekend. We heard a great, Lee and I got a great tweet of a guy who was in downtown Tampa, tried his first Big Storm Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA. Very cool that he sent that to us. We get those all the time. Try it. You'll be hooked. And as we heard earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call with any disaster in your home or your business, fire, mold, storm damage, a leak that causes all kinds of stuff. Don't mess around. Call them 24/7 and they will help you with your insurance claim if that's what it takes. But they know the business inside and out. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Don't call anyone else. Bookmark their website floridaselite.com. Sage, last thing I wanted to ask you for today, Jason Light, regarding you know, what he's saying, what he's not saying, and all this. Through all of that smoke that we saw the other day, 20 minutes of not saying anything, nonsense, all of you sitting there in the room, eyeballing him, did you get any whiff of anything that really came out of that news conference? Anything that you really took away, like, I think Light was hedging here, or any vibe?
Well, I'm going to go back to something I said, and I think it would be negligent, Steve, if this wasn't the case. I'll say it again, Lee. You've got to have certainty about Gronkowski and Sue, or Sue and Gronkowski. Put it in any order you want, the Kemper. But to me, these are two critical pieces. You cannot go in to that draft next Thursday without knowing whether both of these guys are going to be Buccaneers or not. You can't. You can't. That would be negligence. You have to have certainty, because if you don't have Gronkowski, then you got to draft a receiver, like Steve says, because there's not a tight end worth it in the first round. And then in the second round, you might have to move up for an end. And I think there's only one guy, really. The guy from Steve is at Colorado State.
Correct.
That you mentioned. Yeah, that you mentioned last week, that is really shown to be an exceptional pass catcher as a tight end. Lee, you got to know Gronkowski. Otherwise, you're in a lot of trouble at that position. You're in trouble.
The word you used, Ira, and in fact repeated, is a very strong word. Very negligent. That's firm, man.
I'm sticking with it, Lee. And you know what? I think Jason Light will know, because Brady will tell him about Gronkowski.
Yeah.
And you know what? If Gronkowski's been telling Brady, I'm hedging, I don't know. You know what? That's not good enough. That ain't good enough for Brady. Brady's not going to accept that.
Exactly.
Brady's going to tell Gronk, you got to give me an answer, because I want to win another Super Bowl, and you hedging ain't helping me. By the way,
Ira, that's why I'm not perturbed that Brady's not all in, because he was talking to the Dolphins, in theory, because Brady doesn't want that to be his legacy, that he's tanking on the Bucs. He doesn't want that to be his legacy.
Steve, I just think the Brady-Gronkowski bromance, I think Brady's going to know, and if Brady knows, Light's going to know exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Whether Gronkowski's coming back with this team.
You would certainly hope so, that they would be able to communicate on that. It's a critical piece. It's not like Gronk is just some throwaway item. You know, there's no tight end to fill the shoes, simply stated, and those are very, very big shoes. All right, Ira, look, we will see you later in the week. You got a final thought for Bucs fans? Or are you out of here and they can just wallow in your wisdom?
I'm down 7 pounds and I'm on my way to Five Guys. How do you like that, gentlemen?